On today's show, Sean Salisbury, longtime football analyst, is going to join us to preview the national championship game. We'll get his thoughts on Stetson Bennett. Is he good enough to beat Alabama? Also, we'll get Sean's thoughts on some of the other quarterbacks around the SEC, including Spencer Rattler coming to South Carolina. And we'll go around the conference as more transfers pop up across the SEC, more guys declaring for the NFL draft. We'll get you caught up on all of it. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what's happening, everybody? Welcome to Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Experience the game like never before with Sonos Arc, the premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. Visit Sonos.com to learn more. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and at LockedOnSEC.com. Let's jump into it. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Makes the handoff.
Around the conference.
And we start over at Georgia as tight end Brock Bowers has had one of the best seasons for a tight end in recent memory at UGA. On Friday against Michigan, he became Georgia's single season leader for touchdown receptions with 12. And he also owns the receptions record with 53 so far this season. But he's done it all with a nagging shoulder injury that he's been dealing with for much of this season. Kirby Smart talking with the media on Monday. Said Brock Bowers is good. It's just something you have to deal with. Bowers in the Orange Bowl finished with 6 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown, but was held out as a precaution near the end of the game. Bowers in December was named to the AP and coaches All-SEC first team. Meanwhile, over at Alabama, their game prep continuing for Georgia. And Brian Robinson Jr., the running back, had an impressive Cotton Bowl, 25 carries, 200 yards as Alabama disposed of Cincinnati, and now he sets his sights on the national championship game. Robinson, talking with the media on Monday, said, "We sometimes feel like an underdog going into every game. We come into every game with that mentality." He said, "We always feel like the underdog when we're expected to win." Robinson is up to over 1,200 rushing yards this season with 14 touchdowns. He's nearly topped his combined career totals coming into this year. Look, whatever Alabama needs to do to motivate themselves, call themselves underdogs, sure. Whatever they do, it seems to work. Meanwhile, over at LSU, Brian Kelly officially announced the hiring of his new offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock, and his quarterbacks coach, Joe Sloan. Denbrock helped lead Cincinnati to an undefeated regular season in the playoffs, into the playoffs this year. Be a reunion with Brian Kelly. The two coached together for 14 years. Denbrock spent 7 years on Kelly's staff at Grand Valley State and then followed by 7 seasons at Notre Dame. Sloan comes over to LSU after coaching at Louisiana Tech for 9 seasons, where the Bulldogs went to 7 bowl games in that span. Over at Florida, Billy Napier continues to put together his staff, and one of the new guys will include a former NFL scout to evaluate transfers, specifically from the JUCO level and college players in the transfer portal. Monday, Florida announced the hiring of Bird Sherrill as Director of College Personnel. Sherrill comes to Florida after working for the Detroit Lions the past 6 seasons. He joined the Lions working as a scouting assistant, and the last 4, he's been a scout for the franchise. So nice pickup there for Billy Napier on his staff, continuing to assemble a ton of guys. Touching on players that are headed to the next level, T.D. Moultrie had a big year for the Auburn Tigers, and as an edge rusher, he had a career-high 33 tackles, 3.5 sacks. Now he's going to try to capitalize on the big year. He announced he will forego his final year of eligibility and enter the 2022 NFL Draft. Over at Arkansas, an interesting one declaring for the draft. Their long snapper, Jordan Silver, announced on Monday he was entering his name into the draft. As a specialist, it's unlikely he will get drafted, but he puts in some good workouts. Maybe he could sneak onto somebody's draft board, but I thought that was funny with the long snapper officially announcing he is headed out. All right, let's jump into transfer news. Over at Ole Miss, John Rhys-Plumlee has been a fan favorite at Ole Miss for a number of years. Started at quarterback in 2019, shifted to wide receiver the past two seasons. Also plays baseball for the Rebels, but his time is done. Plumlee announced via Twitter on Monday he is entering the transfer portal. According to On3 Sports, two schools have emerged as landing spots for Plumlee: Indiana and UCF with Gus Malzahn. Both schools are recruiting him specifically as a quarterback. He'd also be allowed to play baseball as he did for two seasons at Ole Miss. UCF considered the favorite to land John Rhys Plumlee. Would be a big get for Gus Malzahn. Other transfer portal news, the Ole Miss Rebels. Some good news for them as Zach Evans, former TCU running back, who had hit the transfer portal. He was a one-time Georgia signee. He appears to be headed to Ole Miss, according to On3 Sports. Him returning to TCU had been viewed as a possibility after he entered the portal, but he's a former five-star running back, spent two seasons in Fort Worth, finished with over 1,000 rushing yards and nine touchdowns. He averaged 7 yards per carry this season on 93 attempts at 648 yards and five touchdowns. So that's a big pickup for Ole Miss once that becomes official, running back Zach Evans. Meanwhile, KD McDaniel, former Kentucky outside linebacker, he threw his name into the portal a while back. He has now officially announced he's going to play at Central Florida. He made two tackles in the Citrus Bowl win over Iowa, played 9 games this year for Kentucky. So a nice pickup there for Gus Malzahn over at UCF. On Monday, Florida announced a massive offensive lineman is transferring from ULL, Billy Napier's former school. Cameron Waits is heading to Florida. He played 3 games for the Raging Cajuns this year. We'll have 4 years of eligibility remaining. So we'll see if he can end up starting for Florida on their O-line. Arkansas had a busy day in the transfer portal, and now a third player has reportedly entered the portal. Defensive back Devin Bush at Arkansas will enter the portal. He's followed by wide receiver Kendall Catalan and defensive back Nick Turner. So 3 guys from Arkansas all entering the portal yesterday. Meanwhile, Jaden Jernigan, a defensive lineman from Oklahoma State, he announced he is committed to Missouri. So Jernigan will give some help to Mizzou defensive line. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining, played in all 14 Oklahoma State games this season. He entered the portal on December 15th, played for the Cowboys in the Fiesta Bowl win over Notre Dame with 3 tackles. How about some guys coming back? Zach Pickens been a key member of the South Carolina defensive line, and he's going to run it back for another year. The former five-star defensive tackle announced plans to come back to South Carolina. He made 38 tackles, including 5 tackles for a loss and 4 sacks this year. It's a big return for the Gamecocks. Meanwhile, South Carolina linebacker Brad Johnson announced that he is returning for a 6th season with the Gamecocks. He tweeted out, "The ceiling for this program is non-existent, and I'm excited to be part of it for my final year here in Columbia." He was the lone returning permanent team captain from 2020, made 74 tackles, which was 2nd on the team this year, also had 2.5 sacks. Filled a big hole once Sherrod Green went down to injury. And lastly, a bit of hoop news. SEC play has, of course, started for men's basketball, but COVID-19 still taking its toll around the country. On Monday, the SEC announced one of its scheduled Wednesday night games has been postponed. Missouri, their home game against Mississippi State, has been postponed. Mizzou lost to Kentucky in their opener over the weekend, while Mississippi State took down Arkansas. No makeup date has been announced yet. Mizzou is supposed to host Alabama on Saturday, so we'll see if they end up playing that game. And there you have it. That is Around the Conference. Thank you guys again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. When we return, we're going to talk all things SEC football with Sean Salisbury, longtime football analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the game this weekend. Look, SEC fans, this is an incredible app. Everyone needs to check out. Everyone I know needs to buy gas. And that means you need to get the Get Upside app. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. You just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or on Google Play. Use our promo code SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, You get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the gas pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app and you can be saving that quickly. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. There's no catch. Cash back gets added right to your account, and you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, gift card for Amazon, whatever you want to do with it. It's your choice. Just download the free Get Upside app, and again, use our promo code SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's SCORE on the Get Upside app. Of course, with the national championship game coming up, BetOnline, they've got you covered with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. And BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action throughout the postseason. We got the last week of the NFL this weekend. Of course, the NFL playoffs will be starting up. If you head over to their website right now, you can do so on your mobile device. Sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N. That will get you your bonus. I'm telling you right now, national championship, they got so many different odds and prop bets on that one Monday night between Georgia and Alabama. Of course, like I said, the NFL playoffs as well. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available to you. Go check them out right now, betonline.ag. Sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to get your bonus. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Roll along here, Locked On SEC, and super excited to be talking with this guy. Longtime NFL player, analyst, quarterback, been doing this a long time, and can't wait to talk all things football with this guy. Sean Salisbury, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Of course, you know him for years on ESPN as an analyst and been studying the game for a long time. Sean, welcome in, man. Thanks for joining us.
Gordy, always great to be on with you. Happy New Year, brother. Thanks.
Same to you. Let's start here, Sean. Just general thoughts, because we've got the national championship game is set. Alabama versus Georgia, the rematch. Just general thoughts on that game. And are you surprised that Georgia comes out as the early favorite?
A little bit surprised, but most of the year, and we know how Alabama handled being the underdog last time, right? Saban knows how to coach them. I'll tell you, the surprise for me was how badly Georgia beat up on Michigan. And I, after what Alabama did to them in the SEC championship game, I said the question for me was, okay, how does Georgia respond? Is it where they go into the tank, they got beat, and somebody came in and just took their soul from them, and they weren't going to be able to respond, and Michigan was going to come in and beat him, or they were going to go the other way, and they were going to say, we're better than that. We're going to go take care of our business, and we're looking forward to a rematch to prove our point. And they were impressive. They were the most impressive of the four teams in the playoff, other than maybe Alabama's run game. So I expect a much better game than we saw last time. I understand the problem is you probably, if you were smart, shouldn't have made Georgia the favorite, because Nick Saban knows how to coach underdog teams in big games. The statistics bear that out. The better quarterback resides with Alabama, but I don't think we give Stetson Bennett enough credit. The physicality, I would expect the Georgia team that we saw leading up to that game to show up and give up less bigger plays than they did the last time, Gordy.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go next, Sean, because this year was, I mean, it was a weird year for Georgia from a standpoint of, you know, preseason, one of the Heisman favorites was JT Daniels coming over from USC. And look, in the few games he started last year, Georgia went undefeated as soon as he took over at quarterback. And, you know, there was no doubt there was high expectations for him, but he ends up getting hurt just a few games into the year. First, it's an oblique injury, then a lat injury. They turned to Stetson Bennett. And, man, it was so much to the point Stetson Bennett played so well that even when JT came back and seemed to be healthy, Stetson wasn't letting go of the job. And so it's so interesting, this narrative, Sean, that people have pinned on Stetson, oh, he's a game manager, he can't win the big game. If you go back and watch the SEC championship game, did he make a mistake or two? Yes. But, man, that guy consistently kept driving Georgia down the field. And so I think we need to do away with the moniker. Like, everybody's going to say quarterback, you know, battle in this game, Bryce Young, the Heisman winner versus Stetson Bennett. I think it's a lot more even than people want to give it credit for.
Couldn't agree more. And, Gordy, part of the reason is the stigma of a came to school, went to another college, came back to Georgia. The measurables don't add up, right? The measurables, he was supposed to give up the job. He was just kind of a fill-in. And I talked to a college coach that I have a lot of respect for as a head coach, who I said, when this was about a year and a half or two ago, and I said, when I say game manager, what does that mean to you? He said, it's the highest compliment I can give a quarterback. And I'm with him, because the best game managers in the world, Gordy, are Drew Brees, or Peyton Manning, or Tom Brady, and then the ability to make a spectacular play, which I've seen Stetson Bennett make this year. Now, we'll see if he can do it in a big game like this, but I've seen him all over. With Georgia was on damn near every week on some network, and I know it wasn't Alabama, but he made plenty of big plays. The stigma that follows around measurables, this kid is, I can tell you what, if you're going to go into an alley and want to fight, you want him on your team, because he knows what rock bottom as a quarterback looks like. He had to leave, comes back, and on the depth chart, down the depth chart, just keeps working his way up. And JT Daniels, Mr. Five-Star, can't get back on the field. And you know this, Gordy, coaches in these situations will play the guy they think gives them the best chance, and especially throwing it against the team if they stop your run game, and they believe Bennett's it. Unless some injury or something crazy goes on, JT Daniels isn't going to see the field if Stetson Bennett plays like I think he's capable of. I don't look at him as a negative that, oh, man, what's Stetson Bennett going to do? I actually think he's a positive and he's an enhancer for this team. I love his game management, but I also love his ability to make plays off schedule, and I think he's pretty damn accurate with the football and isn't afraid to take his shots. He's got guts. I think this is a whole different ball game this time around, a lot closer now. Whether Alabama wins or not remains to be seen. But he is going to have to make three or four plays in that game in the second half on a third and seven, a third and five, a play just before halftime. And he will have to throw, because they're going to have to throw to win some of the, to win some of this game and to stay in it. I trust him. I do. He's like a throwaway comment when we talk about quarterbacks. He's got his team in a national title, and they may not be here because of him, but I'll damn well tell you they're not here in spite of him. This is a good football player, and I have a hunch that he's looking forward to this. Not fake, I can't wait to play, where it's that fake bravado. I actually think this guy looks forward to the challenge of playing against the best quarterback this year in the country and seeing if he can match him play for play without thinking he has to match him stat for stat. And I think that's important. Stetson Bennett is the quarterback, and he should be. And that's saying something, considering where he was, where he's been, and where he came from. And don't discount the fact that this kid can make all the plays, measurables or not. Underrated.
Do you put anything into the fact, Kirby Smart, that Saban's in his head, that, until Jimbo did it this year, former Bama assistants have been winless against Saban, and Kirby's been winless against Saban every time he's gone up against him. Do you think that plays any factor in this game, getting in Kirby's head? Because we just saw it 2 weeks ago in the SEC championship game, losing 41-24. It seems like the talent level is comparable, but is there anything to that with Kirby being in his own head?
Well, Nick Saban's in my head all the time, and I'm not even playing against him. So, yeah, I think it does. But the truth is, it comes down to, do your coordinators dial up the right plays, and do your players? And you know this, Gordy. It's great to have it all working like Burrow and Brady did in that season with LSU. And when you're going good and you're going good. But I think Nick Saban, the key, and it's the same with Belichick, they just are a step ahead. They're like a great quarterback who's just a step ahead. But Kirby Smart learned a lot from Nick Saban. And now he's got a chance to say, okay, here's what I learned. And maybe it's not even Nick Saban. Get out of your own head that Nick Saban's not going to make one throw in this game. It's Bill O'Brien that's going to call the offensive plays. He's got a different coordinator. And you know what Nick's telling his team if you're Kirby Smart leading up to this. You've heard every speech you're going to hear. So the key is, get your team ready. And do I think he plays a little, that it plays a role? Of course it does, because that's part of that gamesmanship, that when you win that much, it's like Tom Brady. When you're playing against him, you're not only thinking about winning a game, but there's this, ooh, there's Brady. I can't give him the ball last. I can't put him in position. And you know mentally and emotionally that Nick Saban's teams will not beat themselves, that if you're going to beat him, you have to beat him. So I would like Kirby to cut it loose. I would like him to let it rip and not play not to lose, which I think people do, him included, against Nick Saban. It's like, let's keep it close, try to win a 17-13 game and get out of there alive, which would be fine. But in the process of doing that, two or three three and outs, and now it's 14-3. And then another three and out, and now it's 21-3, and now you're chase mode, and you're already out of your game plan. So cut it loose. Do with what got you there. I don't care if it was playing slippery rock or floor, anybody else. Cut it loose and match him moxie for moxie, but stay out of whatever it is. Change up what you did last time. But you know the speech he's given. You know what it's he's not going to make one tackle or one throw. Execute, but do not play to lose. I want to see Kirby Smart play aggressive, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but their back end prevent. You're going to have to put pressure because their back end's not the best in the country. They've got some issues back there. Cut it loose. Do a bunch of different things. If you played a lot of zone, play more man. If you play man, but give them multiple looks to try and create confusion for the offensive line. But I do think Nick Saban, like all good coaches or players, have a tendency to get in people's head. But Kirby Smart has to realize that he or Nick are not going to make one tackle. Prepare, which he does. You got recruits. Now cut it loose. You're playing to win. You're not playing not to lose, because if you do, the result will be the same as it was in the SEC championship game.
More with Sean Salisbury in just a second, but first, this is it, guys. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours, but on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is that how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. If you want to see the full picture for your business, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. They got visibility and control of your financials, your inventory, your HR, your planning, your budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow your business all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while you stay ahead of your competition. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And of course, for the start of the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. Head to netsuite.com/locked for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses, NetSuite, NetSuite.com/locked, LOCKED.
Continue our conversation with our buddy Sean Salisbury. And Sean, I want to get your thoughts on a couple other teams from around the SEC. South Carolina, Shane Beamer's done a fantastic job in year one, gets to a bowl game. They win the bowl game against a really good Mack Brown North Carolina team. But now looking ahead, man, the sky seems to be the limit for South Carolina. Getting Spencer Rattler to come in from Oklahoma. I know he's a guy that you saw very well through his time at Oklahoma. What is South Carolina and Shane Beamer getting in Spencer Rattler?
And I love him because I was a huge Frank Beamer fan. And talk about a guy who understands that. You watch now, South Carolina will learn to play some of the best special teams in the country, Gordy. And now they've got, they'll get recruits, but they've got a guy who's seen it all. And I actually think, and I've watched Spencer, I was actually coached him at a Texas A&M elite quarterback camp before he went to college. And we saw him get better every year until this last year. And I don't know if he got caught up in the off-season stuff. I don't know if the hype of being the Heisman Trophy first pick of the draft. But he didn't forget how to play. Sometimes a little humble pie is good for you. So he's got a chance. And I didn't think that this would even be an option. I thought he would head west. But he's going to South Carolina. Obviously likes Coach Beamer, who was on the staff at Oklahoma when he was there, and a chance to revitalize his career. What they get now is a threat every game or a guy who can take a game over. And when's the last time we said that, if ever, about a South Carolina Gamecock football team? You said, oh, the quarterback can throw for 350 every single week and is a Heisman Trophy candidate. So this is good. I know the guy who trains Rattler. They have not lost confidence. And sometimes a kick to the teeth is the best thing for you, and it may be the best thing for his career. I love that he humbled himself and says, I'm going to come back and redo this after being the first pick of the draft, or at least that's where he was scheduled to be. And now he became just a guy at the end, but he's better than just a guy, Gordy. This guy's a good football player. And as long as he regains what got him to the point of all the prognosticators and experts talking about him, he'll regain it. He's not going to be on as good a team that he was on at Oklahoma, but the way they're on the upswing, he very well may be, and they're going to be looking at him at the next level saying, okay, how does he elevate this team, and what are we getting from the new Spencer Rattler? I think it'll be good, and I think South Carolina's at least got their best quarterback they've had. I don't remember the last time I thought going into a season South Carolina had a guy this good, and I think he is the best quarterback that you will have seen in South Carolina a long time. He'll put numbers up. Long as he stays healthy, it'll be different for South Carolina.
A couple other guys, Sean, obviously around the SEC, there's a handful of guys entering the portal, but a couple of quarterbacks coming back next year that had a chance to go pro, particularly Will Levis at Kentucky, had a nice bowl win in the Citrus Bowl over Iowa. And then you look over at Tennessee, Hendon Hooker, transfer who came in for Virginia Tech, earned that job, took it to a next level with Josh Heupel this year, really impressive. Of course, Will Rogers will be back next year at Mississippi State under Mike Leach. But of those three guys, Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, Will Rogers, who do you think takes that next step in their progression next year as a quarterback?
I'm anxious to see Kentucky. I am, because I like the rise they're on. I think I got a pretty good idea who Will Rogers is and what Leach will do with him. But I do love, and Cody, think about it. Think about what a rejuvenation is and what, like, and I'm kind of anxious to see what a Slovis does at Pitt, even though he's not as skilled as those guys. And some people had him as a late round pick this year. Can he go in and do what Kenny Pickett did if he has the opportunity to do it and compete for that job? But I like the way Kentucky's – I like the uptick they're on. The one thing I also like about on the other side with Josh Heupel's offense in Tennessee is how fast they play. And every – I'm big on this part of it, Gordy. I'm big on guys who, you know, played well one place but didn't really shine like they – like their capabilities. And then all of a sudden they ran into a quarterback room or a coach who said, you're better than this. Now let's go put you in a system. And Kentucky and Tennessee, we mentioned at Mississippi State. And while Mississippi State didn't play well in the bowl game, Will Rogers is a good player and he's accurate, a typical each guy. So keep an eye on Kentucky and keep an eye in with Josh Heupel's Tennessee team as they're going to play. They played as fast as any team in the country, and that's Ole Miss included. So I think we've got, and you know, whether Max Johnson worked out over at Texas A&M, we'll see where they're going. So there's a lot of guys who looked at it, realized I need one more year to give myself a chance to heighten the awareness for NFL people, but also to play on the national stage. Of those guys, you're going to see a couple of them that will be mentioned in the Heisman race, especially at Tennessee and probably at Mississippi State, because they're going to put up huge numbers, and Kentucky's offense is starting to catch up to their defense also, which will be fun to watch. I'm anxious to see how these guys, I don't want to call them retreads, but new opportunities for these guys and the way they elevated this year, how it goes another year in the same system.
One of the best football analysts in the country, our buddy Sean Salisbury. Follow him on Twitter, at Sean Unfiltered. Sean, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you, Gordy. Thanks, brother.
All right, that's Sean Salisbury there, Sean Unfiltered on Twitter. That is just about going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. My thanks so much to Sean for joining us, and we'll be back tomorrow talking all things SEC football, continue to count down to that Georgia-Alabama national championship, and continue to bring you up to date on all the latest news on opt-outs, transfers, and everything else from across the SEC. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen. Check out the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Talk to you guys tomorrow.